Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Podcast with Noah and Jeff.
In this show, we're going to dive deep into flips, wholesales, holding rentals, and creatively structuring deals.
So that we can show you how you can achieve that lifestyle of freedom that you desire. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Show with Noah and Jeff.
This is my week to do it. Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Show with Noah and the host of the Chasing Freedom Show, Jeff Fossen.
Oh,
welcome.
Thanks for tuning in.
Today, I'm the host. Noah's the co-host today because he got my intro stolen. But hey, today's going to look a little different. You can tell we're having a little bit of fun this morning. We're going to go over a book that, some key points in a book that had a lot of influence on our business and how we think and how we operate. If you're in real estate or in the business world at all, you've probably heard of this book. It's called The Go-Giver, and it talks about these five extremely important laws to catapult you into stratospheric success. And today we're going to talk about what those laws are and how they have directly impacted our business and share some stories of how we try and live those laws out. So thanks for tuning in. We're stoked to talk about this with you today.
Heck yeah. So we'll start with the first, heck yeah, that doesn't sound as cool as I thought it did. we'll start with the first law. We actually say this law a ton in the other episodes. If you go back, you can probably find four or five references to this. I would say this law is something that Jeff and I literally built the entire business off of without intentionally knowing that this was like a law in the Go-Giver book.
Yep.
And it's a fundamental basic business principle. To give more in value than you ever expect to receive in payment. Yep. It may not be word for word. It actually, I think it says.
It's pretty close.
It's pretty close, yeah. It says, give more value than you take in payment.
Yep.
So this is huge, right? Like for Jeff and I can think of a handful of examples of where we gave first without expectation of anything and it came back tenfold, right? Do you want to share? Do you have a specific example you want to share?
Yeah, so this is the law of value. And I have one that comes to mind. We had a gentleman reach out about, it was probably about 2 years ago now, and he wanted to start buying some deals here in Boise, and his off-market acquisition system was not working as well as he thought it would, so he'd reached out to us and said, hey, I know you guys have this dialed in. If anything comes along, let me know. Well, at the time, we weren't really wholesaling. We were keeping most of this stuff for ourselves because we had kind of built out this well-oiled operation side of the business, but we had some deals that got sent to us from wholesalers that didn't have enough margin to then kind of what we call in the industry daisy chain, which if we're being honest, we're not big fans of daisy chaining anyway. But so the deal came along and there was enough room for us to make money, but we knew that it would help this guy out, right? So we said, hey, Mr. Buyer, his, I actually feel fine sharing his name. His name's Christian. And we said, hey, Christian, these will probably work for you. And we sent him four deals, I think. Two of those were duplexes in downtown Boise that we didn't make a penny off of.
Zero.
And not only did we not make a penny, but we had to, like, do additional paperwork and help the wholesaler who was kind of new. We had to hold their hand and make sure it worked. And we didn't make a penny.
Yep.
We literally just wanted to bring this guy because we knew that he could be an influential player. And we knew that if we brought him value that maybe down the road it would do something for us. And we just figured, hey, let's help him out right now. And if something comes, cool. If not, no worries.
Yeah.
Well, so this guy bought some deals from us, and then we ended up getting a couple wholesales to him that we found through our system later. Didn't work for us, worked for him. And now he has decided to shift his strategy and no longer buy properties here, but instead do private lending. And he reached out to us. He said, I only lend to people that I really trust. And he said, you guys really proved yourself by finding me these deals, and I know you didn't make money on the first four. So now, catch up 2 years later, he is now funding like three of our projects and has like really sky's the limit with them. Dude has a ton of money. And he texts me like almost every week, like, when's that next deal coming? I got the money, Jeff. His points are incredible. His percent's incredible. And he can close it in 3 days. So it's like astronomically different than the other lending options we have. And that was nothing that was ever talked about with him. It solely came out of us wanting to add value on the front end.
100%. And you know, the other side of that equation too is like, we also wanted to help out that wholesaler.
Yeah.
Right? Like, give more in value than you expect to receive in payment.
Yep.
We helped out the wholesaler. He continued to bring us deals, which allowed us to continue to help out our buddy.
Yeah.
And now it turns into, all this extra cash that we have available to our business for private funding, which allows us to do more deals.
Yeah.
So, and it didn't come right away, nor did we expect anything from it, right? We just said, hey, like, let's help these people out. Like, he's trying to buy, this guy wants to sell, let's connect the dots. Like,
yeah.
We didn't need to take something on it. Yep. Now, that is like, you know, you could argue that that's not a good principle, that's not a good business principle that you should be paid for everything you do. But sometimes, man, payment is not monetary.
Yeah. 100%.
Sometimes payment is goodwill.
Yeah.
Like, you can't buy the goodwill that Tree City Homes has in the Treasure Valley.
That's true. Yeah.
And I wouldn't take an extra $50,000 on a deal if it meant sacrificing my goodwill.
Yeah.
I would rather lose that and keep the good name that we have built.
Yeah.
Than to put extra money in my pocket.
100%.
You want to hit rule number two?
Yeah, I'll get rule number two. And before we go, because this episode, we're going to share a ton of stories just because I had this saying, right, that it's you only know what you know. So what we know is the stories we've had. And I'm sure some stories from other people will tie in. But this isn't an episode to pat us on the back and be like, hey, look how cool we are. But we only know what we know. And so the stories we're going to share are stories that we've experienced. Not to be like we're cool, to be like, hey, maybe try and find somewhere in your business that you can do this because it worked for us. So law number two is the law of compensation. It says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. I think this one's key because I remember like being young and being a hustler, like it was all about the money. I was like, I want to get paid. I'm trying to get paid for everything that I do. And then quickly I realized like, that's cool if you want to get paid. That's great, but what you're going to get paid ultimately is going to be minimal if you're really trying to maximize every dollar and every hour and every individual opportunity that you get, right? In comparison to what could be there if you don't really focus on, like, I got to get paid for every step of the way. So I can think about, like, for me, when I started my general contracting business, so I've been flipping houses for 7 years, and all along until 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, I guess, two and a half, I was flipping houses for myself, but also running a GC business and flipping houses for other people. And there was times where at the end of the project, there was tons of random stuff that wasn't in my bid. It was nowhere in my bid. And like, I don't know if they didn't expect it or what happened, but it would come down to there was a week worth of work for me and two guys that wasn't in my bid and it wasn't really on their scope of work. And would I ask to get paid for it? No. I would do the work and I would say, it's not a big deal. I made enough money on the project that I can cover these last couple of days. Now, again, maybe some business guy listens to this and they're like, you're an idiot. But for me, what it did is it put my GC business as one of the most well-known GC business in the investor pool here in Boise for the first year that I was getting established. So that client said, hey, man, I got this great contractor who always goes above and beyond. Check him out. That's actually how I met Noah, another guy.
That's crazy to think about, huh?
I literally worked for like four other people. We were running their jobs all while I was able to flip my own houses because I didn't expect to maximize every single dollar I wanted to do above and beyond and get paid based on serving those people, right?
Dude, even the first deal we did together, which was my personal house hack, right?
Yeah.
Like, had you been more concerned with maximizing every hour of your time on that deal, we probably wouldn't have gone and done another deal together.
Yeah.
But I don't want to give away a future... I'll stop the story because I'm going to give away a future story or a future rule that is that I really want to share that story on.
Yeah.
In line with that rule that you just talked about, it's interesting when you look at how we're building a team as well.
Yep.
Right? Like our compensation is directly related to how many other people we help get what they want.
Yeah.
Dude, like we preach this day in and day out. Like us building our team is about helping them get where they want.
Yep.
We have our coaches that preach that to us, right? Mm-hmm. Like how can you help your team achieve their personal goals? By doing that, you'll build them personally. Then they'll build your business, which then builds you personally.
Yeah.
It's this chain of effect. But it's so funny. You'll notice between these two rules that each time it starts with how you make somebody else feel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Cool. I'm gonna hit rule number three.
Before we hit that one, I wanted to dial in and just reflect on some of the people who have been key in my business. I can think of just, even in my GC business before the investment business, there was employees who would come and it's like, hey, they didn't get what they needed to get done today, and they're hourly employees, right? So then it goes into that ninth hour of the day and they can choose to clock out and go home. They can choose to stay late and work a little bit more, and then they could choose to stay late, work a little more, and ask for overtime pay and all this extra stuff. Well, the ones who went home, they didn't last long. The ones who stayed and asked for overtime pay, they didn't last long. It was the one who realized that, hey, I should have got this done, and I'm going to still work, and I'm going to get paid my normal $12-15 an hour. I'm not going to ask for extra to do this. Those are the ones who always turned out. And now I got two guys on my crew who literally started at $12 an hour. They're now making $28 an hour plus profit shares running some of our flips because they started out with that mindset of I'm going to prove myself right? The law of compensation is I'm going to seek to serve this person, and then I'll get paid in return for how well I serve this person, right?
Yeah.
So
actually, that's, I'm glad you brought up that perspective, because the perspective we keep sharing is from like a leadership position.
Yeah.
And I think that what a lot of people will resonate with is from the position of like, how do you serve your leaders as well?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, even us now, we have like leaders that we look up to and we follow. There are coaches that we pay for a lot of it, but that's fine. You know? So, I actually really appreciate that perspective of thinking up. I think it relates to like, if you're in the corporate world, how do you climb the corporate ladder? You're never going to climb the corporate ladder and get to a nice comfy position where, you know, you're making six figures and you've got stock options and extra vacation time and all that. If at every single extra step that was required of you to get there, you asked to be compensated.
Yeah.
The compensation sometimes is down the line. Mm-hmm. It takes sacrifice. It takes hard work. It takes a commitment to a bigger cause, right? So interesting thought process.
Yeah,
all right, I'm going to jump into rule number three before we go rambling now. Black hole we can't get back out of. Okay. Influence is determined by how abundantly you place others' interests first. I love this.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this. Can I? Yep.
This is the law of influence.
Yeah, the law of influence. So and essentially what it is it's like, in order to influence others around us, we have to first show them that they can trust us. And we do that by showing that we care about their interests.
Yeah.
Very interesting thing that we talked about earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I actually think it'd be really fun to share the news that we have not shared with Justin yet on this episode and see if he listens to it and hears it.
All right, I'm going to let you share.
You want to do it?
I'll let you. I'll be half listen half the time. So.
Oh, okay. So this is regarding Justin and the Boise Ave duplex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
okay, yep.
Justin has very clearly expressed, Justin's our acquisitions manager, he's very clearly expressed some really awesome big goals he has. And that's why he's a great fit for our team, because he thinks way bigger and way outside of his current comfort level and skill set, which that's all we do, right? We're always thinking way further outside of what we can currently do right now. So one of Justin's goals was to become an owner of an Airbnb. He loves watching what we do. He's inspired by it. He's excited by it. So Justin actually went out. He sourced this lead all on his own outside of our marketing. He did not ask for an additional compensation. Mm. Going back to the last rule, he never asked for anything extra. Yeah. He just said, I want Tree City Homes to do well, and I want to serve Noah and Jeff as my leaders.
Yeah.
He brought us this duplex. It's a great deal for the company. The company's going to do very well keeping this, either as whether we keep it as Airbnbs or we sell it as a flip, the company will do well.
Yep.
If we keep it as Airbnbs, Justin, if you're listening, I have a little surprise for you. We're going to actually give you a little bit of ownership inside of that deal.
Yeah.
Because again, he didn't ask for it. Yep. He didn't expect it. He did what needed to be done. He went above and beyond. Yeah. And he put our interest first.
Yep.
And now it's our turn to put his interest first. Yeah. So I'm really excited. It gives me goosebumps to think about doing really cool things for our team.
Yeah. So. I love it, man. That's one of the best parts about building a business is there's so many areas that you can compensate others without really like, you know, it's not costing us more to compensate. And maybe in the long run, you'd be like, hey, it was a loss of profit on a certain sector or amount. But he's going to bring way more in value because of doing that, right? The law of influence, one of the things that I have a story, we hosted a boot camp, at our office like 3 months ago or so. We had like 30 or 40 people show up. I was mind blown when they registered. I was like, we'll have 10. Yeah. Cause you always do these things to go to these meetups where a ton of people are registered and nobody shows up, or there's 10 people and it's like, oh, this is awkward. But we had a really good showing, and, we had the opportunity to do a presentation. And I remember a guy came up to me after the presentation and he's like, hey, do you really believe what you say? And I'm like, what do you mean, bro? He's like, do you believe what you say? And I'm like what? And he's like, why are you opening up your full market? Like, cause I opened up our entire marketing system. I explained, which is funny because I'm not the marketing guy, but somehow I did the marketing presentation. And hey, my numbers are good. Like, I opened up the marketing system. I shared the returns on individual marketing channels that we do and all this type of stuff. And he was like, man, I can't believe you're willing to share all of that with us. Why do you do it? And I'm like, one, people helped pull me up when I got started, so I want to be there to do that for other people. But two, what I've noticed is the more that I share, the more that I look and say, hey, what can I help you with, the more my influence grows. Mm-hmm. So in the Treasure Valley, like, we looked and
numbers
we're probably like—
numbers-wise, but that doesn't mean everything.
Yeah.
Numbers-wise.
Like, we do a good amount of volume, and we're pretty high up on the list of volume flippers in our market. But I think we have a good influence pool because people have noticed who we are and our character and our integrity, what we give to people. Just last week, I posted on my Instagram story like, hey, I got a private money. We were talking about private money that week is what I was kind of like was my theme of my page. And so I said, hey, I got this packet. If anybody wants it, DM me. I'll share it with you. Like 25 people DM me that a packet that between you and I, we probably got like 30 hours worth of work in it creating this packet, constantly updating this packet and making it look good. I don't care about that. I gave it to people freely. We give it to people freely. And because of that, we have influence in this market and in this sphere and in this network of real estate because we're willing to share our tips and share our knowledge, right? Yeah.
There's a quote that I really like. That ties into influence. To attain influence, you must actually give it away.
Yeah. That's right? Good.
So it's like you bring other people up, that brings you up. The same thing with us opening up our office space to anyone inside real estate. So also, if you're listening to this, you're in the Treasure Valley, you didn't know, our office at the Village has this big like open floor plan. We've got comfy chairs. We've got coffee. Come sit down, do your work. You need help on deals. We'll help you.
We got beef jerky.
We got beef jerky too. But there's a lot of people that questioned us on why we did that.
Yeah.
Like why would you do that? Why would you open up your office?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that it hasn't been without issues.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, like, to gain influence, you must first give it away. And by giving this space away freely, and we paid a crap ton of money to have that space.
Yeah, and remember, bro, like 6x8 offices in the Village ripped for like $1,100 a month.
Yeah, yeah. So keep that in mind. If you want to come up and use the space, it's truly open for you.
Yeah.
Cool. You want to hit law number
four?
Yeah,
law number four is the law of authenticity. The most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself.
I love this, man. I think I probably misunderstood this the first time I got it. I thought it just meant being super honest, even if it hurt people's feelings. So, I remember sitting down in a meeting with someone that week, and I was like, you know what? The law of authenticity. I'm going to be super authentic, and I'm going to tell you that I hate the company that you're with. And then it just did not go well. They were not happy.
No one definitely went through this phase. I remember I had I guess you call it a beer meeting. I grabbed a beer with a buddy, and Noah's going to be there, and Noah didn't make it. And I was like, hey, man, sorry, no one can make it. He's like, hey, no worries, bro. I kind of heard he's the hard-ass one. And I was cracking up because it's so not true, but that was probably when you were going through this phase of honesty.
Okay, so you need to share a story about the law of authenticity because my opinion of it is it just needs to be really honest.
For me, I think honesty is a good part, but I think, like, being genuine and understanding that, like I remember, like, and it actually still bugs me in this industry, in a lot of business industries, you hear this term of like fake it till you make it, which, like, I get it. I believe in manifesting things, right? Like, if I believe things and I think things and I say them out loud, like, they will happen. That's not me faking it. But like, what I think is important is like fake the, like, get to where you want to get by manifesting, but don't fake your personality. Don't disguise who you are in business in this industry because ultimately it won't go well.
No.
One, people will see right through it. I've met with people where I'm like, bro, I have no interest in doing work with you because I can tell that this person that you're portraying to me is not who you really are, right? And so that's a turnoff. Two, if I can't see through it, if we do business together, and then a year down the road, your true colors start to show, well, then now this is going to be this animosity and resentment, and it's not going to go well. So I think, like, law of authenticity is be authentic. Be who you are. Like, that's why, like, I'll get on this show. I talk to people. I'm ghetto. I got a funny way I talk. I don't change my – I used to. I remember, like – actually, here's a good little story from, like, my – growing up days, right? So I grew up in a rough area in Southern California. I got kicked out of high school and moved to a small town in Southern Oregon. And I was the only white kid in my friend group in Southern California. And in Oregon...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
No, you're good. No, it's the point. Like, I was the only white kid. I literally lived in an all-Hispanic and African-American apartment complex, like 32 units or something like that, only white family. So that's what I grew up around, this culture. And so this is like how I talked, and this is who I was. And I moved to Oregon, and there's only white people, legit. Not even a single African-American kid at my school. I was like, what? This is so culture shock, right? And people were always like, bro, you should change. You should act more like us. And for a minute, for like 2 or 3 years, I really changed my identity, bro. I started wearing cargo shorts and Hollister shirts, dog. Like, this was not me.
But still had the cornrows?
I did have cornrows one time in SoCal. But like, this was not me. And I tried to change who I was. Yep. And then, like, I remember thinking when I started my business, like, well, I have to come across very professional and I have to sound like this and be well-educated. And yes, there's, like, you need to be educated. And there's a
you
time.
You also got me for that.
Yeah, right?
No, I'll be yourself, I'll be myself.
Yeah. You white enough for all of us, bro. But, like, I remember thinking, like, I have to put on this front. And while, yeah, there's a time and a place to be professional, I don't think there's ever a time and a place to put a front on.
No.
I think that being authentic and being yourself And I actually, we were in this Maui Masterclass. And this is when like this really like, I was like, I'm not operating this way anymore. I'm just going to be me. Like I found a little bit of success, which gave me the comfort to say, I'm going to be more authentic. And we were at this Maui Masterclass. And one of the guys there was like, Jeff, you're one of the best networkers I've ever met. And I'm like, dude, all I'm doing is joking around and being a goofball because that's who I am. But by being authentic, I was able to build real relationships and people saw and looked at me and they were like, this kid doesn't fake it. Maybe he should, but he doesn't.
I'm glad somebody else said that because I was like, man, I'm gonna have to shut the debit card off because the alcohol is just getting to him. I'm just kidding.
There's two strategies of networking, right? You could like talk real estate and business, or you can drink till 3 in the morning on the beach. True. There's two.
But yeah, that's a whole nother story. That's funny.
But yeah, be authentic, be yourself. People 100% relate to that.
Oh, I agree.
And
completely.
If they don't, like, then whatever, it wouldn't have been a good fit in the long run anyway, so figure it out now.
I think we actually should dig into that, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not your authentic self and you get into business with people that you don't generally want to work with because you were trying to be somebody else that fit their mold, that's a strategy for disaster.
For horrible disaster.
Right? Yeah. So instead, you're super authentic. You decide up front, that's not somebody I want to work with. Yeah. I would say one of the places we are the most authentic is in our interviews with potential people wanting to join the team.
Yep.
We're super transparent. We're super honest. You talk about your ghetto self.
Yep.
I talk about how I'm a hard A.
Yeah.
And you know what? By doing that, though, we set really, really clear expectations for everybody where they know exactly who they're getting.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise.
Yep.
When Jeff comes in and Jeff's all ghetto, nobody's surprised.
Bro, I'm pretty sure I was barefoot in the interview one time.
You might have been, like, dude. I got my dog in the interview.
If you're going to be around this, be around this. Actually, hey, this is a good time to share a story about somebody else, too. A buddy of ours, he's very successful in the commercial real estate world. And he was at this Maui Mastermind, and he told us, he said, I'm extremely authentic in my interview. I actually intentionally talk about things that I know may be a jumping off point for people. And he said, I don't really dive into politics, but I'll bring them up and see how they react. I bring up hot topics, and I see how they react. And I talk about that I have a gun on my hip, and I see how they react, because that's who he is.
Oh, is this AJ?
Yeah. And he doesn't want to build a culture of people around him that aren't going to fit that, right? Yep. So I think that's brilliant, because you build the team that you want to build, being authentic, and you really protect yourself from issues down the road.
Yeah. And so. It's so funny. I think some of it was unintentional. Like, we just want to do what we want to do, right? Like, I want my dog in the office, so Maple's at all the interviews, and they have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Remember that time my gun fell out of my pocket in the interview? No, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine?
I was like, bro, I was not there for that one.
Yeah. No, that didn't happen. Yeah, I'm just never. Kidding. Yeah, that was just a joke. Okay, cool. Law number five. This one is tied with number one for my absolute favorite, because I have stories on stories on stories on stories of how this rings true. I would actually say for the last 2 weeks, you and I have been doing nothing but shoving this down every single person's throat that comes into the office.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to law number five. Law number five is the law of, I can't read this, dude.
Receptivity.
Receptivity.
Bro.
There's got to be a simpler way to say this. It's the law of being receiving. Open to receiving.
There you go, dog.
Jeez Louise, man. Why do you got to put big words in small text? That's not a good combination for me. I'm almost 27 now. So.
The key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving.
There we go. Jeff, what do you think about this?
This is the time of the show that I guess some people might be like, oh, I got weird. Being open to receiving, Noah and I don't shy away from our faith. We don't shy away from the fact that we believe in God and that everything we have is from God. This was big for me. I remember calling Noah. I listened to Ed Milette was on the Bigger Pockets podcast. Like, I don't know. I listened to it maybe like 7-8 months ago. And I remember I called Noah. I was like, bro, you got to listen to this. Because for me, I had success early on, and then I had a ton of failures early on. And then I started to get massive success, way bigger than the success I had before. And for me, I could easily equate that to the fact that I started tithing, that I started giving more of my time, that I started being more generous, and I really dove into my faith and started taking it very seriously. For me, that was easy to equate. Mm-hmm. But it was not easy for me to then justify that success that I was having. So for me, it was, well, I know people who are suffering, so how can I be doing well? I know people who can't pay their bills. How is it okay for me to do so well? And I listened to this Ed Milette show, and then Milette got really real about the fact that he's also a Christian and how he's way more successful than me by a landslide, one of the top guys in the world. And he opened up about how he used to feel shame and guilt for the success that he was having, and he had to stop that, and he had to say that I'm going to live by this law of being open to receiving, and what he is open to receiving is the blessings of God, because he is a faithful child of God. And so for me, that was mind-blowing, because then I started to stop feeling the shame and this mm-hmm. guilt and this pressure that I was putting on myself, saying that I shouldn't have this success. Like, can Christians be this successful? Yes, they can. Because in response to that, who I am as a person because of what I believe, I want to be extremely generous. So God wants me to be successful. I need to be open to receiving what he has for me, because when I am, I can then go and turn around and be generous for other people, which is the entire intent of what we do. Like, I never shared this with Noah. I changed my screen saver on my phone. Like, 3 weeks ago, I was going through some real heavy stuff, and I was wrestling with this again. And so I changed my screen saver, and it says, money doesn't matter, race to freedom and help other people. Like, I was just real. I was getting in this trap where, like, I was counting all the money and the future money. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. But then I was also very stressed out because it wasn't coming in as fast. Projects were taking longer, and I was getting stressed out. And so I changed, and I was just like, no, this was never your intent. Your intent was to get to freedom through cash flow, and then to use portions of that cash flow and the large equity chunks that we make to go and bless other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to wrap my mindset around that, and I'm like trying to put these reminders into my life that there's a bigger intent, and because of that, my belief is that God wants to bless me and that I will be open to receiving those blessings so that I can then pour those out on other people.
You just said, okay, you just pricked my mind and inspired me.
Yeah.
Being open to receiving, I think, is sometimes difficult as a leader.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's sometimes difficult as a father or as a husband.
Yeah.
Right? Interesting thought. If I look back over pretty much every single person we've put on the team, so this is a shout out to everybody that is at the Tree City Homes team, because I'm grateful for them.
Yep.
We had to be open to receiving them, because, dude, like, sometimes we're hiring some really talented people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes, like, with really talented people, you have to question their intentions. You have to question, okay, what are they in this for? Are they here to try to take?
Yeah.
And by eliminating that mindset and being open to receive high quality, high caliber, high integrity, with great work ethic type of people, like, if we're not open to having that around us because we're fearful, or we have this mentality that somebody's taking something from us, we have to be open to that. We wouldn't have the team that we have today.
Yep.
And I can think through each interview with each person and think of ways in which we had to be open to receiving an awesome person to join the team.
Absolutely.
So I think that that can be difficult. And I think the way to monitor that is just to check yourself at times and be like, hey, did someone give me a compliment and I'm just completely rejecting it? Okay, I'm not open to receiving positive feedback.
Yeah. You know, because honestly, a lot of the reason that people aren't open to receiving these things is because of pride and arrogance, right? Yeah. Like, that the book talks about this. This is why people kind of shy away from these things. If you really look at the root of why you're uncomfortable receiving, it's because pride and arrogance gets in the way of it.
100%.
If you guys don't know The Go-Giver, it's a great book. It's written by Bob Berg and John David Mann. Incredible book. It's not real estate specific at all. It's not even really, I guess it's business.
It's specific, principles.
But it's life principles.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it. I actually was joking with a buddy about this the other day. He posted on Instagram that it was like this frustrated face and all confused about this guy who was like, me forgetting 99% of the 22 books I read this year. And I'm like, bro, that's why I never read, because, like, I can't collect all that knowledge. But Go Giver, I picked it up and it never sat down on a table until it was done. It's an easy read. It's like 130 pages, but it really, like, set the table for really starting to understand these things and make sure that we're operating in them. And because of that, we've seen massive success in our business.
I agree. Hey, guys, thank you so much for joining in with us this week as we deep dived into the Go-Giver book. Why are you smiling and laughing?
Thanks for tuning into the book club.
Oh, you wanted to do it too?
No, I'm just kidding.
We really do feel like we live by these principles. I'm not going to say we're perfect. We have to check ourselves at times, but they act as good guidelines. If we ever find ourselves struggling, a lot of times it's because we're not living or acting in accordance to some of these principles in this book. They're great guidelines no matter what type of business you run, whether it's real estate, whether you're in a corporate job, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it doesn't matter where it is. These principles will guide you towards success, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So cool, guys. If you liked this episode, feel free to share it with your friends. If you share this with Ed Milet, tell him that we want him on our podcast. That would be really cool. You know, maybe if like 10 or 15 of you shared it to him, mom, if you're listening. but no, we really appreciate you guys. Leave us a review. Reach out to us on Instagram if you have any questions about real estate. All right. Peace.
Love you. Peace up. ATAP.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Chasing Freedom Podcast with Noah and Jeff.
Please subscribe to our YouTube channel in the show notes below. And if you ever want to get a hold of us, feel free to do it via our Instagrams. You can also follow us for our funny content on TikTok.